Well, this week, as far as the Advent week, we're looking at, as we came off from last week, hope. We won't get too far. We won't get too far because it's just one thing into the next, but it has everything to do with each other. And really, this week, the word I'm going to put up, is wait. Wait. And in that, we're going to talk about wait, and we're going to talk about what does that mean, really? What does it mean to us in our culture and context? But then what does it mean in biblical culture and biblical context, and how we should understand that when there's words in Scripture, and oftentimes you will find in Scripture the word wait. It's very common, especially look in the Old Testament. Look at the Psalms. Look throughout Scriptures, and there is just sometimes the command, the imperative, to wait. But we're going to talk about that. For instance, let's start with a question to you. How are you with waiting? Do you like to wait? Would you consider yourselves a very patient person? Someone who doesn't mind that, you know, while you wait, you can, you know, be occupied with different things or can find something useful to do? I mean, maybe just there's that unique person here that you intentionally pick the longest line to wait in the store because maybe there's just things on the magazine rack you want to read. Maybe there's some articles you want to gather. Maybe there's something on your phone that you have to get to. I don't know. Maybe you're someone who looks forward to seeing the doctor because you really do enjoy the quiet waiting room. Maybe your house is not so quiet, so you just need to go to the doctor so you can have a nice quiet waiting room. Well, how do you handle that road construction? You know, the kind that goes from three lanes to one? Do you enjoy all the bright flashing lights, like kind of like a Christmas show? Do you take time to enjoy the scenery as you're waiting in line or waiting just to get over a couple lanes? Maybe somebody will let you in, maybe not. I'm sure you have times where you enjoy waiting. Sometimes we need to count it all joy that we have to wait. And I really do literally mean that, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Because this week, we're talking about waiting, and we're not talking about waiting in long lines. We're not talking about waiting for the Christmas fun stuff, maybe the bright light shows or whatever shows or things that you want to take in this Christmas. No, literally, there was a waiting. We talk about Advent, we talk about waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But this type of waiting was different than the kind of waiting that we sometimes think about. It's not just having patience. And it's not just keeping occupied or keeping busy because I have something to do while I'm waiting for that return call or I'm waiting for the operator on the other line to pick up to deal with my issue that I've been waiting 45 minutes for on the QE. No, this type of waiting is different. There's something else going on in a biblical understanding of waiting. Now, the word that's used oftentimes for waiting, it's not the only word because there's several words for waiting or wait in Scripture, but one that's very commonly used is kava or kawa, depending how you want to pronounce the V in the Hebrew. But it means to wait in a sense that is closely tied to our word last week. Now, last week, we talked about hope, tikva. Actually, the words are very similar in construction. We talked about hope. We talked about the God of hope who fills us with hope like a rope we hold on to with expectation. And this rope is tied to our source. Our source, God, whom we need, who's really the source of hope. So this word, kawa, is not far from this word, really. In fact, if we look at the NIV, this word in the Hebrew is often translated, or sometimes translated in the NIV as hope, where other translations will actually say wait. The NIV will say hope because they're so closely related in meaning that that translation is adequate. It is right. Because in the aspect of waiting, there's the aspect of hope. So it is a type of waiting that has expectation. It's looking into the future with God, not as opposed to looking into the future without. I want to look at Isaiah 40:28 to take a closer look at the type of waiting that the Bible speaks to. It's Isaiah 40, verse, starting in verse 28. I think it's a very familiar passage, so you will know it quite well. It says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now the word in there for wait, as we can maybe go back to that, 31. Go back to 31. And then it says, those who wait for the Lord, they will renew their strength. In fact, another translation says, will gain new strength as they wait for the Lord. So this connotation of waiting for the Lord is actually, it's not negative. It's not a negative connotation at all. Actually, there's a positive sense here of what waiting does and waiting is about. Because it says those who wait for the Lord, kawa, those who wait for the Lord, renew their strength. And I like it how Isaiah speaks as far as waiting for the Lord, because it has a focus. It has a real focus that is upon God, upon him and who he is. In fact, it says it starts with a question, almost like the question that is asking the question in a way of almost like, surely you do know, right? You know about this God. Do you not know God? Of course you do, Israel, right? Do you not know this God, this everlasting God? It's like, have you not heard? Have you not seen? Have you not perceived, is what he's saying. He's just reminding, basically, Israel, that the God you serve is a big deal. He's really great, you know. Of course Israel has heard. Amen. Of course Israel has heard, but sometimes I think like Israel has to be reminded, and we know, yes, Old Testament, yes, is reminded over and over again, and we have to be reminded even today that our God is the everlasting God. He does not grow tired or weary. That's who he is. He's faithful. He's pretty great. And we are to take notice. Israel is to take notice. Take notice. And wait for him. Because it's special. It's not like waiting for something mundane. It's something ordinary. It's waiting upon the great I am. And there's something in the waiting that actually strengthens us. But it's a waiting that has a focus, and the focus is not on us. The focus is actually on him. We look at David in the Bible, and David had to do a lot of waiting. There was times in his life where it seemed there were endless days. He didn't know when promises in his life would come. We've talked about David, and it's important because he's a great example of someone who had to wait upon the Lord. And of course, in his writings in the Psalms, he speaks very clearly about that. In Psalm 27, starting in verse 11, it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence." I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Again, that word, kawa, comes up and it's directive. It says, this is what you're to do. Because certainly when he's speaking of his situation, David was waiting for the Lord, and he had a situation that was dire. He had adversaries coming against him. He had oppressors who were wanting to push him down. He had people that were seeking his life. But he knew that God held things in his hands. He held even his life in his hands. And so he looked unto God and he waited. He waited. He was waiting for deliverance. He was waiting for vindication from his foes, his oppressors that were coming against him. Vindication from false accusations, lies that were spread about him. Have you ever had lies spoken of about you? Things that you couldn't control, things that were done outside of your control or certainly outside of your will. And you were like, what to do? What do I do, God? What do I do about people who are spreading rumors and things that are not true about me? Have you ever had to trust God to lead you through steps of difficult days, of hardships, of not knowing how things would turn out? You didn't know how necessarily the days would transpire, but you still knew a God who held all your days. There's a waiting upon God that's really different than our idea sometimes of waiting. And David shows it very clearly when he says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take courage. It is God who holds things in his hands, even as we go through valleys and difficulties. And it's interesting that David says, teach me your ways. He begins in this passage, he says, teach me your ways, O Lord. Because he knows that in the midst of his trials, he's asking God, Lord, I know I need to know you and I need to know your ways. Make my pathway level. Make them level, O Lord. Some translation says, teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path. And it's a pathway through understanding that there's adversaries on all sides. So Lord, don't lead me into my adversaries. Don't lead me that way. Lead me according to your will, your purpose, your understanding. Lead me in your ways so that my pathway will be straight and my ways will be ordered of you in a way, Lord, that I will not fall to my adversaries. So David exhorts us to wait. And he says, be strong and take heart. Let your heart take courage. This is not an idea or a picture of passivity in any which way. And I think sometimes we think of waiting as having to be passive. We think we just have to kind of sit around, you know, roll our thumbs or twiddle our thumbs, hum a song, and kind of just wait on whatever we're waiting on. And sometimes, obviously, we've experienced the passivity of being in a line, just feeling like we can do nothing or go nowhere. We just are stuck and have to wait. Sometimes it's painful to have to wait so long. But biblically speaking, we're not to wait in a passive way. In fact, we're to draw upon the Lord. And I think that's what David is really speaking about here. Lord, teach me your ways. Show me how to live in such a way. Show me how to live according to your ways that I will entrust myself to you, knowing that you will lead me through. And that the promises that you have for me, they will come to pass. I don't know when. I don't know how. You know, even on the days he was waiting to be crowned king and he was running in the desert, he knew there was a day, there was a time, the anointing, the God's word was sure. He knew the promise would come. He just didn't know when. So he looked to the Lord in those days. He wasn't just passively waiting by. He entrusted himself in the Lord, and he knew that he had to let God work on his behalf. Isaiah 64:4 says it, for since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. He's working for you as you wait for the very things that your heart is longing for, the very things that you even feel like God has promised you. The very thing that you're, like we prayed this morning, we're praying for the salvation of family members and people that we know, and we're waiting and we're hoping and we're saying, God, when will you fulfill this? Or God, would you give me a word about this? And sometimes that's exactly what we're doing. We're waiting. But we're not waiting just passively. We seek him and we ask him, Lord, teach me your ways. Show me your ways. And it's also critical that we look intently upon God. It's just like a hope that has a rope that we're holding on to our source. Our source is him. It's waiting in the same way, because we wait, we look to him. We look to him. We actively entrust our lives in his hands. And in the midst of waiting, it's often the case that there is growing. There's growing to do. Psalm 130, 5 through 6. It says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. There can be pain in waiting. There absolutely can be pain. The psalmist speaks of waiting. It says even more so than the watchman. But if the idea, the picture is this watchman on the wall having to watch over for the safety of the city all night long, whether it's cold, whether it's rainy, whether he can see as he peers into the dark night, the enemy that's maybe even encamped out there that wants to do harm to the people that he's protecting and watching over. There sometimes is a pain in the waiting. But when the morning comes, there's a release. There's a relief. There's a release when the light comes up and you see out and you see that there's no enemies. You see that what maybe the dark may have been hidden, and in your fears may have been hidden, now is the light is revealing that the night is over and the day has come. And there are no enemies out there waiting. You know, the psalmist says it requires our whole being. Our whole being to wait on the Lord, to look for the breaking of the dawn. And God is like the morning. He's certain to come, and he breaks forth light. The light that sometimes we simply need when we find ourselves in darkness. Well, we know in the time when people are waiting for the Messiah to come, and they're anticipating and praying for and asking God, when, Lord, when? We hear your words. Where, Lord, where, when? And all the things that certainly they had anticipation for. But the people did hold on to the words of the prophets. The faithful Israel, those who did not give up, who knew that God would surely come, they were looking for him. And he was the long-awaited one, and they had to wait many, many years. In fact, Israel said that over 400 years since the last prophet spoke of the coming Messiah, over 400 years passed before the Messiah came, and it was a dark time for Israel, where they were ruled over by oppressors. But God spared them. God kept them. God even defeated their enemies in that time, as we can understand, even the celebration of Hanukkah is the time where God saved his people from destruction in these dark hours, in these dark years. But they waited. The people waited. And it's the sense that you wait expectantly. You wait with your eyes open like the watchman. You wait with your eyes open, peering out to see. You wait with the promises that God has given you. You wait with the prophetic words fixed in your heart. What has God said? So the idea of waiting is really maybe not so much about time and distance, but so much more about the promise in which we're to fix our eyes. There are so many examples of waiting. Can't talk about it all today. But the idea of waiting can be seen in so many ways in the Bible. We can look at someone, situation like Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elisha had something in his heart. He already committed his life to being a prophet as he was called out by Elijah. He said yes. He left everything behind and he followed Elisha wherever he went. He was learning and growing in his calling. Now, Elisha says that he's going to be taken. He's going to be taken and he will depart. And the time and the hour is not known. But Elisha has something in his heart. It says, what I want from you is I want not only the mantle that you carry, but I want a double portion. Remember the story? He wants a double portion. And Elisha says, well, you know, really, this is not so much for me to give to you. This is something that God gives. But he had a word for Elisha. It says, if you see me, if you're with me at the time of my departure, whenever that may be, then God will grant you the double portion that you seek, that your heart desires. And you know, when Elisha had that word from God, spoken by the prophet, he never let Elijah out of his sight. Everywhere Elisha went, he was there. If Elijah had to make a travel and a trip to another city, he was there. Elijah could say, well, you know, you can sit this one out. It's okay. I'll just be a day and be back. Oh, no. Elisha would not let Elijah out of his sight. He was with him, intently with him, focused, waiting for what he knew that God would bring. He would not let it pass. He would not miss his opportunity. He would not miss the time of the blessing that God had for him. He didn't just sleep in. He didn't just make it pass by. He didn't just kind of come up with something just to pass his days by. He was intently waiting. And that's the kind of idea that we have with the idea of waiting. It's very active. It's full participation. It's like, I'm holding on and I'm not letting go. Wherever you go, I'm going with you. I wonder if sometimes that's the kind of attitude we should have towards God. God, I'm with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I'm with you. I'm not letting you go. I'm trusting you. And I know that you'll see me through. I know that you will answer even the very things in my heart. Now we also see in Scripture there was others that did not wait so well. We can go to the Mount Sinai in the desert where Moses had gone to spend time with the Lord. But there was Israel at the base camp at the bottom of the mountain. And they know that Moses had gone to spend time with the God and he was going to hear from the Lord to bring word back to Israel. But there was people in the camp that grew weary. They would wake up every morning and say, well, where is this Moses? Where is he? Does he not know we're in the desert? Does he not know we're a bit hungry? We're on the thirsty side? I mean, yes, we came out of Egypt, but what now? We need some leadership around here. We need some leadership. Moses, what's going on? And every day they would wake up and just kind of question and get more and more weary of waiting. And then their weariness said, you know what? We've got a good idea. We'll take things in our own hands. We're tired of this Moses. We're tired of this God or whatever. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a good thing. He brought us out of Egypt, but we got to get on with things. And so they did. right? We know the story. They made their own idol. They resurrected it and said, this is the God, this golden calf, this is the God that delivered us. And then they proceeded with their pagan revelry, it says in Scripture. Their sinful dance and their sinful worship of this pagan God. You see, they stopped looking and waiting for the God that was on the mountain with Moses. They stopped waiting for the word that was absolutely coming to them. And they were told that God is going to bring word and direction to you. It's not like they didn't know, but they got tired and they got weary. And in their sinful nature, they went back into their old ways and they said, well, we know the ways of Egypt. We'll just follow in the pagan practices that we've seen. They didn't wait. They didn't wait with any expectation or anticipation. They just took things in their own hands and said, okay, we're just going to do things our way. And you know what? We're more comfortable with that anyway. And that's sometimes what we do as humans. We just do what's more comfortable for us anyway, because sometimes it's painful to wait for God to come through and deliver us, or deliver a situation, or whatever it may be that we're having to wait on God. Sometimes it's painful, but sometimes it's the very pain that we need to experience that begins to do something in us, because it's something in us that needs to die while we wait. There was things that had to die in Israel while they waited in the desert, because they couldn't take the promised land. Because sometimes God has to put his people in a place where they have to wait, and sometimes wait a long time to develop and become the people that can actually take hold of the promises that he's ready to give. Because God has so many promises ready to give, but if we're not ready to receive it, it's better that we need to wait and prepare and anticipate and let God do a work in us to prepare us to receive. There's just things that God has to do to prepare the way. Why does it take God so long for the Messiah to come? Why does it take 400 years? Sometimes that's a hard question to answer. That God sometimes seems to put us in situations that there's long suffering. But he says, wait. Intently look to him. Look unto him. I tell you what, that helpless feeling is maybe a great place to be. The helpless feeling of waiting. Because we're not in control. We can't control the situation, and we don't like it. God, give us a situation that we can't control. That was the Israelites. The Israelites wanted a situation they can control, where their pagan revelry wasn't such a bad thing. They could just do as their flesh pleased. But that was them. That's what the Israelites lost out at that moment in their lives. They would have to learn and grow, and the next generation would learn and grow, and they would take the promised land. But sometimes there's just pain in the waiting, and sometimes that pain can get us to a place where we surrender more of ourselves, our lives to God, and we start to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this by myself. This is just too hard. You're going to have to strengthen me. And he does. For the scripture says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. God, renew our strength today, Lord, even if it's painful to wait. May that be the moment where we find you in a greater way. Lamentations 3, verse 22 says it this way. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. I think the word of God is clear. There's an anticipation, a focused anticipation that we are to have in the Lord, to wait upon Him. I don't know if you've had, well, let me just say, we know what it's like waiting upon a child. Maybe you're waiting for your own child or your grandchild or your nephew or your niece, but in your family, there was a wait. Now, I'm sure in those 9 months, you were not just sitting around going, okay, I wonder when. I'll just kind of wait this one out, just watch some TV, get some rest. But you know, in the waiting for the child to come, there was expectation. There was excitement. And there was preparation. There was things that had to be done. The room had to be ready. The crib had to be put together. All the necessary supplies, the blankets, the feeding cloths, the bottles, the this, the that, the other, the house had to be prepared. It had to be, all the safety things had to be put in place, the gates and everything that would be needed. Preparation for the family to come, as the family would come and be with you in that time, or you would go with the family, or however you were preparing. Because there was excitement and there was promise. A promise to come. And there was also pain. There was pain, and I'm sure any woman could speak to that. There wasn't just pain in the birth, there was pain in the carrying. There was uncomfortableness. There was sacrifice. But it was all worth it, because even with all the pain, the child comes, there's joy. There's absolute joy in the coming of the baby. For the promise has arrived and the pain brought forth life. Well, there is a story of pain that brought forth life, and ultimately it's God's gift to us. And even the pain, yes, it caused Him, but it brought forth life. It gave us life. And as we wait upon God, it can be kind of like that. Waiting for the promised birth. Wait with expectation. Wait with a sense of anticipation that God will make a way. He will provide. He will do accordingly, according to His will. And sometimes we also should pray, Lord, prepare me. Prepare my heart. Prepare me in my life to receive the very things that You want. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss the moment. I want to hold on to You. Wherever You go, I want to be there. I want to see Your promise come to pass. Regardless of how long, the waiting is not senseless. It has purpose. It has purpose. And there is a fulfillment and a hope that is delivered even while we wait. So I don't know what you're waiting for this morning. Something that's maybe even gotten to the back of your mind because you're not really sure. When, God, things that you've prayed about, things that you've sought, God is not forgotten. But wait, accordingly to the way the Scripture calls us to wait and to look unto Him. And may we draw closer, even in this Advent season, to, as we think about the Messiah, to really anticipate and know that God's doing something even in this season, and it's transformational. To look intently upon what He's doing.